With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. Are you tired of endlessly searching for work, applying for jobs and never hearing back, job openings vanishing into thin air? What if with just one connection you could link with dozens of companies that are hiring? What if that connection was a locally owned business ready to help without charging a fee? Express Employment Professionals is your one connection. Go to expresspros.com. With endless opportunities, it's time to try something new in your job search. Let Express Employment Professionals help you. Start at expresspros.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from beautiful Costa Mesa, California. Year two of the Chargers in L.A. Year two of us being at the Chargers training camp, but it's a whole different vibe. A completely different vibe. Welcome in. We got a lot to get to. Tiger Woods, even after his first round at the PGA Championship. We'll discuss that. Kawhi Leonard sends a letter to a fan. We'll discuss that. Huge slate of preseason games over the next couple of nights. We'll discuss that. Got a little Major League Baseball to talk about. But you know what's amazing? Here's what's amazing. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to, well, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. That would be bad. But I want you to try and clear your mind. Perception many times becomes reality. But that doesn't mean that perception is reality. The LA Chargers are the perfect example of that. How would you characterize their season last year? Right. Here's the perception. Right. Perception is they didn't even have any home fans. Perception is they couldn't win any games. Perception is they're just one of those other teams in the NFL. Reality is they actually finished 9-7 in a league in which, and remember, not only did they win 7 of their last 10 games, but after an 0-4 start to finish 9-7 in a division as difficult as the one they're in, the reality is Chargers had a damn good year last year. And then you factor in relocation, first-year head coach, first-time head coach, factor in both their first and second-round picks essentially didn't play last year. Perception was Chargers, if I said pick their record from last year, you'd probably say somewhere between 5 and 7 wins. And the fact is, they're a field goal away from going to the playoffs. They're a field goal away from a double-digit win season. Now, you factor that in with looking at today. Hey, this is our second year here, the second year of the Chargers being in L.A., and it feels completely different. One, expectations raised. Two, just the familiarity. Anthony Lynn back, the head coach. The two offensive coordinators back. Of course, 17 back behind center. It feels completely different. And it feels like you'd say, well, it's a bounce back year. But they were actually 9-7 last year. That's not a bad year. Let's welcome in the head coach of the Chargers. Anthony Lynn joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
How you doing?
I'm great. If you asked average guy in the street, hey, I'm the coach of the Chargers, what do you think we finished last year? How many people do you think would say 9-7?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
My sense is that people would act like, well, they had a bad year last year. Well, you had a slow start, bad start.
Yeah.
But finished with a kick, and I think that's the reason the expectations are so high for this team. But I don't think average Joe fan realized you guys won 9 games last year.
You know, we realize it, you know, and I hope our fans understand, you know, where we're at right now. And we understand that, yeah, a lot of people say a field goal away, you know, but there are a lot of plays, you know, that would have made a difference in the games last year. We just hopefully we can carry over the culture from last year to this year. We're not worried about the wins and losses. You know, you can't carry those over, but the culture you can. And we kept this team together for a reason, the coaching staff, the players. And like you say, we're not moving. You know, everyone's more comfortable, more familiar right now. And so it feels really good. You know, I feel a lot of stability with our staff and continuity.
When you took the job, and look, you've been all around this league, worked with some really good people. I know there's only 32 jobs. Did anybody say, Anthony, you're crazy? It's the Chargers. Don't do it. Did anybody, you don't have to name them. Did anybody say that to you?
You know, I have mentors, and some of them say you may be moving, this may be going on, this and that. You know, I looked at the roster in my interview, you know, with the organization, the people that interviewed me, and I like the leadership, and I like the roster we had. So, to me, it was an easy pick.
How did you not lose the team? You're 0-4, and they were at least 3 just devastating losses. And as much as they're grown men and they're fighting for paychecks, and everybody likes to say, hey, man, it doesn't matter. It's just got to be hard. And you're a first-year coach, and it's a 50-50 split in home games in terms of your fans and opposing fans. But you did an amazing job of keeping them together. How?
You know, I have to give those guys credit. I have to give the coaching staff credit because those guys, I mean, they're high-character guys. You know, I really love the men that we have on this football team, the things that they do in our community and everything. But they were never going to quit. And I was never going to flinch, and the coaching staff wasn't either. And so as long as we stayed on track and stayed on course and kept working hard, we knew it was going to turn. It was just a matter of time.
Melvin Ingram is a guy who really, really impresses, I think, everybody. What's maybe most impressive is you go back to last year, he gets paid before camp.
Yes.
And yet he plays better. That's something that's
rare.
Is it rare?
That's what I'm talking about. The character of the men on this team. You know, when we played him last year, I'd never even met him. And when he got here, I was like, man, this guy shows up like an undrafted free agent. Taking nothing for granted, taking coaching, working his butt off. Yeah, that's Melvin Ingram.
Outside of kicking game, which is the obvious, what are the little things? Because the difference between making the playoffs and not make the playoffs is this much,
sure.
Right? You guys, I feel like you guys in Baltimore screwed the whole thing up because two teams, Buffalo, who I know you know very well, Buffalo and Tennessee, those weren't playoff teams. You and Baltimore were playoff teams, and yet because of Baltimore late and you guys early, you didn't end up getting in. But the margin is this slight.
Yes.
What are the things that in year two as a coach you think you guys need to do better to get on the other side of that margin?
We want to continue to understand this game and play smart, okay? I feel like we took some strides that last year after the Jacksonville game. And we want to play more physical, you know. This game has evolved, no doubt about it. But there are some things that doesn't change, physicality. And the team that is the most physical on Sunday usually win. And I want this team to play more physical.
How can you – There is the pull of, and we saw this in Hard Knocks. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to watch.
No, I don't get a chance to watch TV.
It was really fascinating in that you had two coordinators who both been head coaches in Cleveland Browns front office, and they're sitting there, and Hugh Jackson, who had been a coordinator but been a head coach, Hugh Jackson's like, look, we got to give guys days off. You know, they're giving guys vet days in the middle of camp as a preventative measure. Yeah. And you have Todd Haley say, oh, look, we won one game the last 2 years. We want to be more physical. There's so much they need to learn in such a – and as you know, less practice time than you ever had when you were a player or coming up as a coach. Like, there's a hard thing. And Hugh Jackson said, hey, look, all due respect, I've been in that chair. This is my team. This is the way we're going to do it. What's that pull like for you as a guy who's been a position coach, understands you got to have guys in the practice field, and you have to manage how much, not just the reps, but if a guy even puts on the shells because you want to have the preventative so that they're ready for all 16.
There's a fine line, and I know exactly where Todd Haley's coming from because we both played on a team and coached on a team in 2006 with Coach Parcells. And we talent-wise, we were an average roster, but we went to the playoffs that year because we built resolve. Coach Parcells built resolve in that football team and grit, and we did it through training camp and a lot of hard work and physicality. But at the same time, you know, if your roster is thin, you know, you have to be careful that you want to get everybody to week one.
Yeah.
And so there's a fine line between going too hard and not going hard enough. So yeah, I talk to guys a lot about a physical mindset. We're not going to go out here and beat the hell out of each other every day.
How do you establish a physical mindset?
We will emphasize it every single day. And we show video clips of it in practice when it's right and when it's done the way we want it done. And we just keep emphasizing and coaching it.
Anthony Lane joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. You mentioned Bill Parcells. I know he's a mentor of yours. And one of the things I've been told that you have that he had is there's a healthy respect and maybe a level of fear, right, which is, I think, healthy. Look, I played for a guy in college at Oklahoma State, Eddie Sutton, and he might have been in his 60s when I played for him, but I wasn't going to challenge him. I don't want to be the guy who he proves, you know, like Robin Ventura running out there and Nolan Ryan pounds him in the ground. Like, I feared him. I think we all kind of feared him. Not a bad level of fear, but a level of respect to fear. How do you create that with players without being overbearing, but to the point to where they respect you as a man and as a leader and as a coach without it being too much of one side or the other?
You know, early on in my coaching career, you know, I had a lot of success early with my running backs and offensive run game coordinator. We rushed for a lot of yards. And I coached a lot out of fear, to be honest with you, early on. But as I grew older, I began to understand more that you're going to get more out of people through relationships and love. And I reach out to my guys. I call my guys. And I go over and put my arm around them and I talk to them. But at the same time, I'm very demanding. And if you mistake demanding for fear, then that's your problem. But, you know, I have high expectations for every man on that field. And if I'm not getting it, I'm going to be in your face.
It's interesting. You know, week one games – I know the Patriots have told people, hey, first four games, that's like extended training camp. So for them, maybe it's because they play in the AFC East right now. It feels like week one, Kansas City Chiefs, is a massive game for this franchise. And it doesn't, as you proved last year, just even you lose first four, you can still come back. But am I overselling it? That's the team that kept you out of the playoffs last year. That's a team that I think everybody respects, Andy Reid.
When's the last time we've beaten this team? Do you know?
I don't know. How many years
that's
ago?
That's a problem.
Yes.
That's a problem.
How many years ago? Was it like 4 years ago? Yeah. I mean, so now look, and they're different with Mahomes. They're going to look completely different, but they're still coached by Andy Reid.
They're different with Mahomes, but they're also different with Sammy Watkins.
Yes. It's clear they're going to try and have – they got some offensive pop there.
No doubt.
Really good at tight end. Tyreek Hill, don't punt to him. And, of course, you got Sammy Watkins. And they're good at running back as well, and they're well coached on defense. That said, considering the starts of your career last year, previous regimes, am I overselling that week one is a really big game for the Chargers?
Week one is a big game because it is the first game. You know, it doesn't matter who we're playing that first game. That is a huge week for
us. No, but it considers
the Chiefs.
We want to
start fast. We want to start fast. And I know they're in the division, they're a rival. But I don't want to overhype, you know, any game because they're all important. This is not like basketball and baseball. We don't have 100 of these suckers. We've got 16. So every single one is very important.
17 has been there a while. Last year you came in. I know you asked him to turn the football over less, and he did a better job. He did a better job of that.
He did a heck of a job.
What do you want? What's the next step this year that you want to see 17 do?
I want to pick up where we left off. It's all about the ball. I want to take care of the football, and he just I thought he played well last year. But we have to win in the games that, you know, the big games. You know, I thought we were 1-5 versus playoff teams last year. We need to improve that.
Yeah, the Jacksonville one just still stabs in the heart. I mean, there's so many.
Why are you doing that to me?
I'm sorry.
Why are you doing that to me?
I apologize. one thing that you view differently now, different lens, year two as a coach than you did last year?
Well, I have to have a better understanding of what this team can do and can't do. And I know where we want to go with this organization and this football team. And sometimes you're not going to get there overnight. And so I believe being around these guys for a year, we're going to put them in better positions to make plays and do what they do best.
Hey, congrats on your first year winning nine games. A lot of expectations. Nobody handles them like you. Thanks for joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
Appreciate it. Thanks,
Anthony Lynn, head coach of the L.A. Chargers.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The number is 192. That's the number of consecutive regular season games started by the man who joins us now, known as 17, or Philip Rivers. He joins us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. 192. Can you even remember, like, those 2 years behind Drew Brees? Do you even remember them?
Gosh, that was a long time ago. Long time ago. 192 is a lot of games. You know, I always, when I was younger, I always thought the record Favre had, you know, was like, that's the one. Like, they, of all the records, you want to catch that one, and I'm not gonna get there.
You've been really honest about that. You were asked about playing into your 40s, and you're like, that's not me. So I guess the question is, how do you know when it's enough?
Yeah, I may get to 40 or 41. I don't know, but I'm just not. We're not, you know, the way out there in the 40s. I have no desire for that. I think just the guys I've talked to, you'll know when it's time. You'll know, and I hope that's not anytime soon. I don't even want to even hint to that. But I feel like I have a handful of years left. I'm excited. I've had a good camp. We've had a good camp, and I feel like our roster is at a place now where we got a chance.
No, I mean, listen, there's a lot of expectations, and rightfully so. We've talked about Tom Telesco, your general manager, is going to join us later. You know, I've talked to him privately about, heck, not only do you have this year's draft class, you got last year's first and second round pick. You haven't seen Lamp yet. He comes next week. But you get Mike Williams, who I know is a big get. So you add everything you add in free agency, and to essentially 1.5 draft class, that's a roster that won 9 that probably should have won 10 or 11 last year, that's got to be a good feeling.
No question. I think we have to pull from last year, but not go, hey, man, we were one of the hottest teams last year. We'll just pick up where we left off. We can, but we have to make sure it's the old boring one day at a time approach and keep our head down, because last year there wasn't much expectation out there. Teams moving, they're coming off four and a five win season. And this year, the way we finished, there seems to be a little more buzz on the outside, which is good, but we still know we got a lot of work to do.
Look, your dad was a coach. I know you're going to be a coach when you stop playing. And I think the hardest thing to coach is how to win, right? Just how to win, how to believe that at the end of the game, something's going to go right. And not something's going to go wrong. And you've been around this franchise long enough. I've been a fan, and you know, for a long time, to know that that's the opposite of what so many Charger fans and some Charger players have acted like, which something's going to go wrong even when you're playing really well. How do you change that?
Well, I think there was a stretch there where we won a bunch of those games. Now, I'm talking way back. None of these guys were on those teams.
I remember the 14-win year.
Yeah, 06, 07, 08, 09. It was just, I don't know, but we're going to find a way we're going to win. And that's how we went until, obviously, we had some tough playoff losses. But then we hit a stretch, you know, really 15 and 16 especially, where the game was close. We found a way to lose it. And for a number of different reasons. I had my hand in them for a number of different reasons. And then I felt like last year we just needed to win a few close games to get rid of that. And I think we did. And you know, some of our wins, we were up by bigger margins, but we won some of those games. We won 9 of our last 12. And so now it's not like it was, you know, in 15 and 16. I'm saying that's what you tell these guys. You can tell them, but until you go do it, it doesn't matter.
Philip Rivers joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. There were a lot of reports that you didn't want to do the L.A. thing when you were in San Diego. When it became a reality that this was, in fact, going to happen, what was your mindset? What was actually your thinking?
Well, I think in all fairness, I think we can just speak as normal people. That wasn't my preference, you know. You've been here for 14 years. Aren't you excited to go to another city? No. But when it becomes a reality, you go, all right, let's go. You know, you know, you've
did you ever say, if you guys go, find a different spot for me?
No, I don't think I ever got that far. I felt like, you know, you go through those normal emotions, but then you go, hey, look, the Spanos family, this organization has entrusted me and hired me, paid me to be the quarterback here for a long time. And if we're going to L.A., then let's go. We're going to saddle up and go. And we didn't all the way go.
Right.
We didn't
all the way go. No, it's perfect. It's perfect.
We didn't all the way go. But I am. I'm all in. And I think I wanted, you know, again, we have to earn that here in the community. But I wanted the fans up this way and the community to know I am all in when it comes to being the quarterback and the leader of this franchise. But it was best for our family to stay put.
Okay, so you stay in San Diego, and I thought you were getting one of those sprinters. But you got – what's it called?
It's just an Escalade.
Well, okay, so what do you guys call it?
Yeah, QB Mobile 1.
Okay,
yeah.
QB Mobile 1. Okay, so you decide – I'm sure your wife decided, hey, we're staying, right? You got 8 kids. We ain't moving. And you're like, all right, how am I going to make this work? And how did the idea of – let's get a mobile, quarterback
room. It's a mobile
room.
QB room.
So how'd the idea first come to be?
Well, we looked for houses. We were all in on moving there. At some point, I said, we can't do this. I can't stay up there 4 days a week, and we're just not doing that. That's kind of been our thing. Wherever we are, we're there. I'm at home every night. You know, the whole deal. And so, but then I drove it a few times, and I said, gosh, it's really, the facility's just right there, you know, right at the 73-405 split. I go, it's not but an hour and 5 minutes, hour and 10 minutes. What if I wasn't driving? You know, driving it, no way, because you're cutting into time to study. You're also, that wears you out when you're behind the wheel.
Yeah, I know, I drive that far to
when
work.
When you're behind the wheel, yes. It can. It's taxing. So I said, shoot, what about that? I'm sure they do that. And I just typed in, I just Google searched, you know, like mobile office, and Becker Automotive came up. And they're based up, I guess, north of L.A. or somewhere. It came up, and they were that's what they do. And there's just, you know, ones they had for sale that were used and other ones, and I just called them, and shoot, they got it done.
Did you pick your own driver, or did they pick it for you?
They got it done. No, I did that.
So who's your driver?
Well, his name is Charles. His name is Charles, and Charles is awesome. And I'll leave it right there as far as any more disclosure with the driver. But
okay, but give people a sense of your day, because – as you said, you're all in. Okay, you get up what time?
Well,
normal day. Different now.
Yeah, normal day. So Wednesday and Thursday in the season. So I used to get into the office about 6 o'clock to start the workday. Well, now I'm getting in the office literally in my driveway at 6 o'clock. So I didn't have to change my work schedule that much. At 6 o'clock, we pull out and we pull in the office at 7:10.
And you watch that early. and you watch all your films?
Yeah, so I mean, I just start the day, whether it be a day where I'm watching, you know, a third down cut up or a blitz cut up, or whether it's I'm studying our call sheet, or whether we're, you know, watching games of opponents, or whether shoot, there's certain time, you know, when you go, I'm taking a 20-minute power nap, you know. So and then when the day's over, we'd usually stay in the office till after 6 o'clock in San Diego, because I only had a 20-minute ride home. And I like to get home and sit down at the dinner table, and we have a normal meal on those nights. And so instead, when the day's over at 5 o'clock now, I hop in and we go home. So I'm still getting home at 6:40, 6:30. On the way home, it's a little longer. It's usually an hour and a half.
Yeah, you get that San Diego. Once you get to Oceanside,
Carlsbad.
It's a bear.
Yeah. But you know, even then, it's like, all right, you're in the car another 20 minutes. So either you rest, either you make a phone call, either you watch another cut up, you find another third down play that you want to, you know, call Wiz or Shane and say, hey, I got another one we got to put in. I mean, it really worked out better than I could have imagined. The weekends were tough because I had to get used to a normal home weekend.
Right.
You know, the normal home weekend was walkthroughs over at 11:30 and it's go home and watch college football and hang out with my family. You're not going back to San Diego after a walkthrough and then back up here for meeting Saturday night.
Sure.
I mean, Saturdays are the worst.
Yes.
Saturday traffic, I couldn't get over.
It's unbelievable in L.A.
It was a preseason game last year on a Saturday, and I said, hey, I think I'm going to – now's the time to try it.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave at 11:30, go home, and see what it's like coming back at 6 o'clock. Well, I got in the car and went to the Waze app, and it said 2 hours and 20 minutes. I said, I'm out.
No,
that's it. So we had to get used to that. So they've come up. You know, they've come up, and we've gone to dinner and stay in the hotel. We've had to adjust our home day routine.
I think you might need to get a place where the kids hear the ocean crashes here, just a weekend place for the Rivers clan.
That's not a bad idea.
Philip Rivers joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Look, you're a guy who you have a ton of pride, and I'm intrigued. You know, in so many guys in your draft class and other quarterbacks, they talk about the all-time greats. And you look at your numbers, and you ask guys in respect around the league, and they mention your name. But sometimes nationally, you get, because the team hasn't achieved success recently, we pass over Philip Rivers as one of the great quarterbacks of this generation. How does that feel?
Well, I think it comes with a position. You know, the head coach and the quarterback are the only two players that the record's tied to their name, right? Record meaning win-loss, and have you won a Super Bowl?
It's almost the opposite for wide receivers, right? Wide receivers, when you're on a bad team, like Calvin Johnson, his best year, they won four games. But nobody ever points that out because he put up the numbers, but you only put up those numbers because you're bad. Anyway, sorry, go ahead, proceed.
No, but I think it comes with the territory a little bit. But, I think what you said – not that I even think of myself with some of those guys. I know some of my numbers are up there with those guys, which is crazy. I remember 2 years ago or whatever, I passed Unitas in something. And I talked to my dad, and he was a little choked up on the other end of the phone, which got me a little choked up because he said, I never met my dad's dad, my granddad on his side. And he said, I just can't believe it when I look up there and it has you and Johnny Unitas, because your granddaddy wouldn't believe it. He loved Johnny U. You know, so some of those things, I allow myself in the offseason to go, guys, that's crazy. You know, there's Dan Marino, his poster was on the wall. There's John Elway, poster on the wall. You know, not that I think I am with them, but in some of those categories, you go, gosh, that's crazy. So. The guys that go, I don't pay attention to that. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, that's not why you play.
Did you watch the speeches at Canton? I'm going to do when I get there?
I watch them every year just in case. but it comes with it. But those things that you want to win, you don't want to win. I'm going back to what you said about some of the guys you talk to around the league. It's the guys, your opponents. You really, that's the respect that you want most, is the guys you play against.
Sure.
They go, you know what, for 10 years it was a battle. And those are really their perception is really what you care about most. But shoot, do we want to win a championship bad? I don't like to say and I think if you asked Ben and Eli and Aaron and Drew and all those guys, they would say, shoot, it was we. I know we all know that, but sometimes when they say you didn't win a championship, I go, all right, you know, we're going to fight like crazy to win one, but, you know, there's a lot of people that it goes into winning the game.
No question. I mean, even Pate, when he won his last one, I mean, his arm was shot, right? I mean, that was an unbelievable defense. And they had, you know, they had just enough offensively to kind of get him over that threshold. But like Peyton has had 15 seasons that was better than that last year, but he wins a championship.
Well, I laugh about the way we judge some things. Tom Brady, the year when the Seahawks didn't run it down there, and they threw the interception.
Yeah, Seahawks shouldn't even been there because of the Packers.
But so the Patriots won. So, and I do think Tom's arguably the best to ever play. But when they intercepted the ball, everybody said, Tom Brady, you know, he won his fifth or whatever. He is now the greatest quarterback to ever play. But if Seattle would have scored, he wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
He was on the sideline. He played the same game. You know, it just kills me sometimes. I think that, I mean, I laugh at it because I go, no, he still is one of the all-time greatest, not whether or not the guy made a play or not on defense, you know.
How did you go from 2 years ago, turned the ball over a lot? Last year, I know Coach Lynn challenged you. You got to take care of the football a little bit more. But how do you do that? Because, you know, look, you got to make plays, but there's a limit there. How did you change, especially that number?
Well, I think two things. There's a story to every interception and every turnover. We know that. But ultimately, and I've always believed this, the ball comes out of my hand, it's my responsibility. You know, if you look over the 12 years I've started, I've really taken care of the football pretty good. But I hit a stretch there where I didn't. And I do believe, as we all do, it's probably one of the biggest correlation to winning and losing is turnovers, both getting turnovers and giving them up. And so last year, I think what happens when you lose, we talked about some of those close games, we talk about injuries we've dealt with, we talk about that, is you try to do a little more.
Right.
And it's good intentioned, but it usually didn't work out. It's because want to help us.
Right.
But,
and you lose Keenan. And, you know, and you're trying to force things to guys that aren't as talented.
I want to will him open. I don't want to will this drive because we need to win this game. And in the end, you look back and you go, nope, just keep doing your job. Stay right here. When the plays present themselves, make them. Because I feel like I'm in a role on this team to where they're counting on me to make some plays now. You can't just go out there and dink it around and not make any plays. I need to make some tough throws and big throws and convert third and longs and, you know, score a bunch of points. But at the same time, just do my job, get the ball to these guys, and keep us in these games and let it all happen, because at the end of the day, you try to do too much, usually it doesn't work out.
You talked about all the talent you have on the offensive side of the ball. I think that'll be added when hopefully you get Forrest Lamp next week, and we'll see when he gets up and running. That solidifies that right side a little bit more. But the skill positions, Melvin behind you, Austin's a guy with great speed and quickness. And then, you know, Mike Williams, you got Benjamin, who's a great deep ball threat that I know you love to throw to. And then, you know, Keenan finally healthy, you start to see the type of talent he has. How much, though, does losing Hunter change things?
It's I think it would be doing him a justice to say it wasn't a huge loss. I mean, he already was playing well for us. He was going to – I mean, there's no telling what kind of year he was going to have this year. So, I think it just – again, one, I don't like giving the old next man up, you know, because I think that then you undermine the guys that got hurt. Wait a minute, you're talking about a Pro Bowl tight end, in my opinion. But it's given some young guys some opportunity to get a lot of work and be all right there. And then I think you mentioned the receivers, Mike, Keenan, Tyrell, Travis, and there's a handful more fighting for that fifth spot. Maybe this four wide. Maybe we're – hey, get all four of them in there, you know, or maybe
There's 85 is still unsigned. I want to point that out.
No question. I'm still in conversation with him often. Virgil Green's coming in from Denver. He's doing a nice job. Some young tight ends are, again, they're getting a lot of work. I keep in contact with the 85. He tells me –
Does he text you or do you text him?
I usually start the conversation, but he's staying ready. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Again, everybody knows my love for him, and I would be super excited to get him back, but I've steered clear of the push for it deal, you know, with Tom and John and Coach Lynn. They'll handle that, and if he does trot back out here, I don't think it'll be hard to get back in sync with him.
Well, listen, you being happy means that you know you got a really good football team. You being healthy, obviously, is something we can count on every year. Can't wait to see you out in the football field this season for the Lightning Bolts, and we appreciate you joining us.
I enjoyed it. We got to do it again.
Hey, listen, I'm around anytime.
Good. And I like to stand up and do interviews. This kind of gets me in my comfort zone.
Correct. You know, you can sit there.
You get me going a little bit.
Thanks so much, Bill. Right,
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Sometimes I hate Twitter. I love it and I hate it. I said this on our show the other day, and I said it on Colin Cowherd earlier today, in that the comparison to me is really simple. Trump and Kevin Durant, from this perspective, both have had incredible successes. Donald Trump beat 15 establishment Republicans and Hillary Clinton and won the election, and the economy is, in fact, good. You can argue as to how it's gotten good or who's responsible for it, but it's inarguable that economically, our country is in very good shape. Unemployment is at record low numbers. And so what I said there was, like, if not for Twitter, forget about all the other things that he's done. If not for Twitter, I think it'd be a landslide midterms and probably a landslide election in 2020. But because of the way in which he's gone after people, the things that he said, the thin-skinnedness, the insecurities, however he chooses to handle his business on social media, I think it's really, really hurt him. The same can be said for Kevin Durant. Instead of celebrating his two NBA championships, his two NBA Finals MVPs over LeBron James and his MVP, instead of that, we talk too much about his burner accounts. We talk about him. Well, now he's going to tell people exactly how he feels. Him talking his way in circles because he used to tweet out that he didn't like people leaving their teams to go to LA or to go to New York. And now he's completely changed stances. Like, social media has given an image of Kevin Durant, which I don't know which is accurate, but I do know that it hurt his legacy. So that said, I read this from Andre Iguodala. He was asked several questions, but it's what was some people don't know about Kevin Durant. People don't appreciate him enough. He's the most talented scorer of all time. Hands down, he's walking 30 points. He'll get you 30 and 12 shots. It's very, very hard to do. Very efficient. Most guys need to feel the ball in their hands a lot to get a rhythm. He doesn't. Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, two guys with unstoppable moves. MJ had the fadeaway. Kareem had the sky hook. But KD is a 7-footer who could hit a hezzy pull-up from 50 feet out. That's his unstoppable move. I agree. Now, what happens is when I put a list out that says Melo and Iverson are better scorers than LeBron James, Team LeBron James, which probably means guys like Nick Wright, they lose their mind. How could you say that? By the way, do you know who the second all-time leading scorer in NBA history is? Anybody? Fire. You know who it is?
Karl Malone.
Would you consider Karl Malone one of the great scorers of all time?
No, I wouldn't. No.
All right. So what happens is people misassociate total points for being a scorer, or they misassociate being a great player for being a great scorer. Now, it just so happens that I think Kevin Durant has developed as an all-around great player, but he's always been an incredible scorer and become more and more efficient over the years. The same is true with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was a great scorer and was a very good on-ball defender, became a great all-around player. LeBron James was a really good all-around player who may end up as the all-time scoring leader, but I wouldn't call him a pure scorer. A pure scorer is, give me the ball, everybody spread out, I'm going to go get you a bucket. That's what it is. And that's what all those guys are. That's what Kareem was. That's what Jordan was. That's what Iverson was, who led the league in scoring multiple times. Less efficiently so, but multiple times. That's what Melo was. Melo was the best scorer in the league for about 5 years there because he could score in the post, in the mid-range, and all the way out to three. And so people lose their mind because they say, how could you not say LeBron James has averaged high 20s his whole career? He led the league in scoring 1 year. He may go down as the all-time scoring leader. He's not a pure scorer. If you don't understand that, that's the Dan Marino versus Joe Montana. Byer, were you Dan Marino or Joe Montana guy?
I would have been more Marino.
I was Montana guy. Oh. And it wasn't just because of the wins. It was because of the way in which he won. You know? The way in which he won. You know? He was somebody who, to me, was he cursed by not having a running game? Sure, he didn't have a running game. But the reason that he didn't have a running game, and there's some similarities there to Phillip Rivers, was he was so slow getting back from center. And back then, they didn't have the type of, even now in the NFL, it's hard to run the football from the shotgun, but especially then with how they used to block, that he had to throw all the time. He never had a good defense. But one of the reasons they didn't have a good defense was they played in the heat. They either scored or punted the ball really, really quickly. And so their defense was on the field longer as opposed to other teams that would grind it out a little bit more. So I think like Dan Marino was a better pure thrower than Joe Montana. Drew Brees is going to put up better numbers than Tom Brady, who's a better quarterback. And so people lose their collective minds. They just do. Because they don't understand that you're not actually you're not demeaning the greats. You're simply stating what is sports fact. And look, here's where the I hate Twitter thing is. There's no room for nuance with some people. And oftentimes you have people who are commenting on things that don't really understand sports. They're just on Twitter, and you can't, you know, I don't know. Anyway,
there was some last hour when Phillip Rivers was with us. When he was talking throughout the conversation, and I'm piecing this together, Doug, when he talked about Tom Brady, he said Tom Brady, arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. And then in another conversation, when he was talking about seeing his name in the record book and seeing it next to Dan Marino and saying, arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, using the same distinction, and then we talked about Super Bowl. So, like, the point being of,
he made it. Well, so for people who missed it, he made a great point. He said, look, when they won their last Super Bowl, Malcolm Butler intercepted Russell Wilson and whoever was announcing the game. Who was announcing
NBC.
The game?
NBC.
That was NBC?
Yeah, Al Michaels.
That was Al Michaels?
Yep.
We sure?
Yeah, 100% positive.
Okay. So that was the Seattle game. Okay, I was thinking Atlanta game. That he can go down as the all-time quarterback. He's like, look, nothing changed with how he played when that interception was made. Nothing changed. Zero. Zero. Now, he did lead the Patriots on a scoring, come-from-behind scoring drive. But it's an amazing thing. I've said that about Aaron Rodgers. Like, look, I do think you have to probably win one, unfairly so. You got to win at least one. And if you win two, now you – but Aaron Rodgers is the best guy I've ever seen at playing quarterback. Never seen anybody better. The things he can do. And I think some people ask why he can be a little bit prickly. I would guess that one reason he can be a little bit prickly is at some point you don't have the grace by which even Phillip Rivers, I think, you know, if you asked him during their really dark times, hey, man, what's it like to not be viewed as one of the elites because your team's not any good? Like, you too would get a little bit defensive. I think that's what it comes from with Aaron Rodgers. I think he's like, man, this is the best version of myself ever, and now all of a sudden people are holding me to some unattainable standard simply because my team's not that good. Or I've been hurt, you know, I couldn't help myself playing with a broken collarbone. It's impossible.
I also think when you look at quarterbacks and how they sling it, like Tom Brady didn't sling it early on in his career. Didn't. Now a different story. Now it'll pick you apart. Marino always slung it.
Yes.
You know, like he was always a guy. You know, Rodgers pretty much. You know, so when you're talking about, when you go back to the point of the basketball thing, it's pure scores. Kevin Durant always could score. Carmelo Anthony always could score.
Always
Dan
score.
Marino can always could pass.
Now, LeBron James would always end up with points, but I don't ever feel like he was always a pure scorer. That may be unfair.
And I think it's the same. I know Brady didn't have the same, you know, coming up, and there's maybe different paths, but I think that there is a somewhat similar conversation to be had.
Yeah. I mean, look, Steph Curry is going to go down. He's going to have incredible numbers if he stays healthy scoring. But some of them are inflated by the rule changes, and some of it's inflated by the three-point shot, quite frankly. And the rule changes help him get more three-point shots, and we've changed how we play the game. You can't compare stats to errors in the NBA. And here's a guy that has consistently been 1, 2, or 3 in scoring, and I think and Andre Iguodala's point is accurate. He's a seven-footer that can handle, that can shoot a pull-up jump shot. You can't block it. You can't stop it. It's just, you just hope he misses. Got to get to his body before, get him off his spot before he catches, so that you make him shoot a much more difficult shot, but it's still hoping that he misses.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Tom Telesco, our guest here on the Doug Gottlieb Show, a personal friend and a very good general manager here for the L.A. Chargers. Am I crazy? Doesn't it feel, I don't know, different second year around here in Orange County?
No, you hit it right on the head. There is a comfort level that didn't exist last year, which is normal. You know, we tried to play through it last year, but there was a lot of moving parts, you know, behind training camp that we had to work on with our practice facility, the new stadium, new head coach, obviously. Thought we did well as far as distraction-free, but obviously when you come in this year, it feels different. There's a routine to it. We're much more efficient now than we were. Training camp's been great. Crowds have been tremendous. But now it feels like home.
Okay, so here's what an amazing exercise you could probably do in real life would be this. Tell me what our record was last year, right? Ask somebody on the street, like, right. I'm the general manager of the Chargers. Just tell me what you think our record was last year. Because even when I say 9-7, and we can get into how it almost felt like a disappointing 9-7 because there was some left on the table early. The Jacksonville game obviously has to still be a dagger in your heart. Just watching it as a fan and a friend, it's a hard one. But sorry about that. But it's weird to say, hey, you guys have come off a 9-7 year. You know, this year you hope to kind of pick it up. Like, right? Like, it's kind of a weird thing, the perception as to how your season was as to the reality of 9-7 in this league is actually a pretty good year.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. We finished a game behind Kansas City. Doesn't feel like it from us the way our season went, but we finished a game behind Kansas City. They beat us in that game late in the year and won the division outright. But, yeah, you know, you go 9-7, you don't make the playoffs. It feels like it was a failure last year. That's not the case. But the one thing is, your results aren't going to transfer over year to year. That's not the way it works. But the culture does. And the culture that Anthony Lynn has brought here and built, and that our players have built too, is this is also player driven as well. That can carry over. That's what we're looking for this year. The continuity of the staff, both coordinators back, which is important. It's hard to achieve continuity in this league. So that's nice. But we just got to keep working. I mean, it's a tough league. It's a tough division. We know Kansas City is going to be just as good as they were last year. And right now they're at the top.
Yeah, obviously they're making a massive change, though. I mean, they changed quarterbacks. They went in and spent a ton of money on a wide receiver in Sammy Watkins. I mean, they're changing that from a truly efficient, smart, veteran quarterback to a young gunslinger with a huge arm. But I like, look, one NFL game as opposed to, you know, Alex Smith, who's played for a decade in the league. Like, that's a different team.
It's a little bit of an unknown, and we open up with them week one.
Yeah.
But every year, teams change every year. Everybody does. That's why there's really no – you look at the schedule when it comes out in April and you try and – you don't know. We don't know. But that's what makes our league great too.
The Anthony Lynn, like, look, not every hire you've made, not every free agent signing you've made has panned out. I mean, you made a tough call at kicker last year, a guy who you know, won the job – but he ended up losing you games early in the season. But you made a call on Anthony Lynn, who had no head coaching experience. How long before you knew I made the right call?
I think when we started off 0-4, and we start off in a new market, new stadium, a lot of distractions. It was just natural when you relocate a team. But we practiced really well Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Even though we were 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, I felt like the team was responding to their head coach. And really, our guys never flinched, which is really following your leader. I think I knew right then. I mean, we felt good when we hired him. You always do. But I had not worked with him before. But when you see him on the field, you know, with the players, we see him in the meeting rooms, we see him with us when we have to meet behind the scenes. He handles everything really well. He was unflinched last year. He started off 4-4. We finished off, 9-3 to finish the year. So I feel like we're in good hands with Anthony.
No question. I just always wonder, you make a hire and you're 0-4. You're like, oh, man, sky is falling. What did I do? But granted, when you watch those games, I mean, there's literally a play here or a play there from being 3-1 or maybe even 4-0. Tom Telesco, general manager of the L.A. Chargers, joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Let's get to some of the player decisions. Hunter Henry was the guy in the offseason. Antonio Gates, I thought you handled it as well as you can handle it, a guy who had 15 catches your last two games, and yet it was time at the time to bid adieu to Antonio Gates. Then Hunter Henry goes down. What's that like from your position? It's not just that you lose a tight end and lose a Pro Bowler, potential All-Pro,
yep,
but you just said goodbye to one of the five greatest Chargers ever. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the guy who replaced him goes down. What's that like?
Yeah, things change quickly in this league. They really do. But you have to be prepared for that. Obviously, losing Hunter so early was tough. Hunter's a really good football player, well-rounded, blocking, pass receiving, has a ton upside, and still very young. And I told him, he never redshirted at Arkansas. This is going to be a redshirt year for you, as hard as that is to handle. He'll be better when he gets back.
Any way he gets back during the season?
You leave the door open because we can. He counts on the 90-man roster right now. He'll go on reserve PUP at the cut to 53. If by chance, you never know.
When was the surgery?
It was in May. So we've seen, Melvin Ingram came back before it and played late in the year for us a couple years ago. It's possible. But that's way, way down the road. We'll see when it gets there. We assigned Virgil Green in the offseason. Virgil was a starter with the Broncos. He's played a lot of games, very experienced. A little different skill set than Hunter.
Sure.
But someone that can really come in and help us. We've got some younger tight ends. We need to see more from to see if they can do it. And then Antonio Gates. So, we've both explored that. Both sides have explored that. We'll kind of see where that heads.
If you had to give a percentage chance Antonio Gates wears the Charger uniform this year.
I am not a betting man.
This is not betting. I didn't say bet. I didn't say bet. I said he had a percentage chance.
I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, in Dumb and Dumber is one in a million, so you're saying there's a chance.
There's always a chance.
Is it better than a Dumb and Dumber number?
There's always a chance.
All right, there's always a chance. Tom Telesco joining us. You mentioned Melvin Ingram. Last year, we talked about it often on air. One of the things I think in your position, you give a guy big money in the second contract, and you wonder, is he going to come in fat, sassy, and arrogant? And he wasn't good. He was better than before. He took that money and said, thanks, but I'm going to go out and make some more money for the next contract. Yeah. How rare is that in this league?
It's rare. It is. And you have to be careful who you pay. And it's a people business. It's more than just the production on the field. It's the preparation that goes into it. And the one thing with Melvin Ingram is every year and every offseason, he's worked on a different part of his game. And we've seen him get better each and every year on the field and off the field. And I've seen that again this year. And that's what you're looking for, from your stars. And he's one of our stars, one of our core players at a key position as a pass rusher. And he brings it every day. And he's a leader for us. And he practices hard every day. And when young players see that, when they see your top players practice hard every day, they fall in line usually.
The secret that you guys have is, you mentioned redshirt. You essentially redshirted your top two picks last year. Mm-hmm. Forrest Lamp, who is yet to play next week, I believe he'll be cleared. And then, of course, Mike Williams, who barely played last year, coming from Clemson. Look, it's great to have young players contribute under club control, under those rookie deals. But, I mean, to add that much along with this year's draft, yep. I mean, that's got to be kind of this great little – you guys should have been in the playoffs last year, and then you almost double your first and second round picks coming into this year.
Yeah, this time last year wasn't real happy about it. But the bright side was looking forward. Hey, look, we got both those guys coming back next year. getting a full training camp from Mike Williams has been really beneficial for him. Just to work every day, work the grind through practice, get the timing with the quarterbacks, getting that feel of working day after day after day, which he just missed last year. And by the time he got back and he was 100% ready to go, we were well into the season. And, you know, practice tempo is a lot different in November, December than it is in August. So he's looked very good out here, and we expect big things out of him this year. And he's going to have to help, you know, now that Hunter Henry's out.
You came from Indy. You spent so much time of your career in Indy and getting a chance to work with Peyton Manning. Not just that incredible front office, but also work with Peyton Manning. Compare and contrast Peyton and Philip in their 30s.
You know, what's amazing is their personalities are different, obviously, and you can just see that from interviews. But the preparation between those two guys is eerily similar. And that's what the top quarterbacks have, is that preparation Monday through Saturday, really. And very, very much the same. One thing with Philip, I've been here, this is my sixth year, physically looks the same now as it did when I arrived here. And that's from hard work, but it's that preparation part of it, the film work, the work with the coaches. I mean, Philip is, he's a son of a coach, right? He grew up like that. He's going to coach when he's done playing football. It's in his blood. It's in his DNA. I think that's why he's been able to play as long as he has at a high level.
Tom Telesco, general manager of the Chargers, joining us. But you told me you had like 6-8 plays for flag football. But shouldn't I be getting his plays for flag football? Wouldn't they be more effective?
I would probably go with his over mine.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
You said, you sold it to me. You're like, look, I got 6 or 8 plays. All you got to do is run these 6-8 plays.
I got six or eight good beaters for flag football, yeah.
They are. I need zone beaters, really, because everybody plays kind of that three in front and three in back zone. I feel like you just overload the zone, right? You know, one shallow, one in the middle, and send somebody deep, take the top off it. Is that a good game plan?
Give us a smart quarterback, we're going to be just fine.
Tom Telesco. Joining us. Okay, we mentioned the raised expectations. Colin on Fox Sports Radio picked you to win the division. I would agree with it. Not because out of disrespect for Kansas City, but they have had some change. I think they'll have some ups. I think they'll have some downs. I think he'll throw 20, 25 touchdown passes. I think he'll probably throw 15 or 20 picks as well. That's what young quarterbacks do. How is it your position changed? Not just being in L.A. year two, but also the expectations have been raised massively. Do you have to manage that on a daily basis?
You know, to be a consistent football team, you have to be able to handle everything that goes on outside the white lines. And, you know, I always say, hey, look, don't listen to the outside noise, block it out, but let's be realistic. It's just impossible to do nowadays, especially with the age of our athletes. So you got to have some perspective on things. And I thought last year, you know, there's the good and the bad. Last year we started off poorly in a new market, and there were a lot of negative things said at that point, and it didn't faze our players at all. So I expect the same thing this year. Yeah, maybe a little bit more praise this year than last year, but it's in one ear out the other. I think my high school basketball coach used to say praise is like perfume. It smells wonderful, but you better not drink it. Well, there you go. I mean, it's
like
great
it.
To hear. But our guys, I thought, handled last year really well. If you can handle that, you can handle this.
Yeah, also with the cologne thing, guys put on too much. It's a lot like praise. They just put on a little too much, right? Just a little bit. Once you can smell it, then everybody, it's too much.
Yeah, there you go.
It's just too much. Tom Telesco joining us. Kicking game. You have two. Last year, you had two. You had Josh Lambeau, who, you know, he ended up making knuckleballs with the Jacksonville Jaguars, but he got beat out in training camp. How do you balance, though? How well, like, you got Roberto Aguayo, who was a second-round pick. Tampa moved mountains to get him, and obviously he struggled at this level, the mental adjustment to the importance of every kick in the NFL. I know he's had a really good camp, but how do you evaluate how a guy does in the preseason and how much you believe in him once you get to those 16 games?
Yeah, we'll let it play out over this next 4 weeks, practices, games. Obviously, last year it wasn't professional enough as far as where our kicking game was. Largely, that was my fault. We look to address it this year. We signed Roberto. We signed Caleb Sturgis, who has a nice track record coming from Philadelphia. We're going to let them kick it out. Roberto's done very well in training camp, but we got to get in the games.
But that's kind of my point. It's like, look, last year, Youngway Koo.
Yep.
Youngway Koo was the better kicker. I mean, like, if you came to camp and you watched the preseason, like, he was the better kicker. So I almost feel bad for Aguayo, right? Because Sturgis has the better track record. He got a little bit more of the guaranteed money,
yep.
Right? But, like, even if Roberto Aguayo is a little bit better, I almost feel like he's got to be miles better because Younghoe Koo was a little bit better last year, and he got the job, and then he wasn't. Is that
what we're going to try and do? Like, you try and learn from your mistakes, number one.
Right. But do you overcorrect?
Yeah, right. So you can't make decisions based on some scars from last year. And we've got some pretty good decision makers here. I'm not talking about myself, but our assistant coaches, our head coach. We'll let it play out over 4 weeks. Both guys have kicked well, and you try to make the best decision you can. Kicking's tough. It's black or white. It's either through or not through. But we'll get enough kicks in here and see how it goes.
You're not an owner, so it's not your money. And you know, you'll deal with whatever the rules are. There's been a lot of discussions about contracts in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers said, hey, we should do away with franchise tax. It'll generate more contracts early, and it'll allow more player freedom, player movement. You look at the NBA, their business is fine. Our business is good, too. Why wouldn't our business be better? There's been a lot of talk from NFL players, of course, fully guaranteed contracts. Rookie first-round contracts are fully guaranteed. But, you know, there's a lot of talk about how to adjust to make the contracts better and make more sense, specifically for the players. No one ever says, hey, what's better for the owners and what's better for the general managers. What's the reality of it? When you hear the narrative that the players have set in place, that we don't have guaranteed contracts and everything is limited, it's all under club control, what's the reality to it?
I just think you need to have some big picture perspective, in that one of the reasons why our game is so great is because of the salary cap, because teams like Green Bay and Buffalo can compete on the same level as Chicago, New York, Los Angeles. That's a big part of our game. Everybody knows going into the year, we all have the same resources to work with. And you put the best team together and the best team wins, and it doesn't based on how much money you have to spend. And look, every market is different. Every city is different. Their revenues are different. So come with a hard salary cap. Contracts are a little bit different than the NBA and baseball as far as guaranteed money, as far as franchise tag. I think just from a fan perspective, it's nice having the franchise tag to see your franchise player play with your team for a number of years. That's a big part of it. You know, this is a lot about the fans, too. Obviously, this is a business. We all know that. But our game is just different in those regards. But there's reasons why our game is great, and a lot of it's from the salary cap.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like athletes want all – basketball play. Everybody wants the baseball contracts. Really, they don't want the first baseball contracts. They want the second ones. People don't realize those first baseball contracts are awful, right? You're under club control first 4 years. You're not making $1 million. You know, then two arbitration years. I mean, that's 6 years. Once you get to the bigs, that's not even counting the minor leagues.
Right.
Nobody points that out. They only point out those big secondary, huge, massive baseball contracts. NBA contracts, of course, people want it, but. You know, doctors don't say, I want to get what lawyers get, nor do they say, I want what finance guys get. It's interesting on how athletes want what other athletes have, but you don't get that in any other profession. All right, I saw Hard Knocks the other night, and there was a really interesting discussion between the head coach, Hugh Jackson, and his coordinators. And now, look, both of his coordinators have been head coaches. But it was interesting in that Hugh Jackson was pushing for, and he didn't necessarily push for it. He actually said, look, it's great, my team, we're going to do it, where they gave periodic rest to different players. Not because of injury, just to keep them fresh and as a preventative measure to prevent from injury during the preseason. The assistant coaches, Todd Haley was the most outspoken, said, hey, look, that sounds great, but we won one game in 2 years. We're trying to change the culture here. We want them to be tough. We got so much to teach, and as you know, there's less time in training camp than there ever used to be, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So I need him. That sounds great, but I need him out there. How often do discussions like that, like is that a made-for-TV, is that a movie discussion? I mean, because some of Hard Knocks is they know the cameras are on, guys giving a speech. But that one felt real. Is that normal for NFL or not normal for NFL to have that type of discussion?
Yeah, it's completely normal. What makes a highly efficient coaching staff is you have coaches that come with different perspectives, head coach different perspective, coordinators different perspective, position coaches different perspective. You throw the general manager in there a different perspective. That's what makes it work. Everybody working together, but there's that fine line, and we all try and find it to get the work you need to get in on the practice field and training camp, but not overtax the guys for the long season ahead. Every team I've been on, we've had those discussions on which players, how much. Everybody has different philosophies. But look, it's a long year. You do have to rest the guy. I think it's a smart thing to do. But look, everybody has a different. But that's you talk those things out. I think it's good to have different counter arguments of why. I think that's great. And I didn't see the show, but I'm sure Hugh handled it the way a good head coach would.
Well, look, I'm excited to see you guys play on Saturday. It's, I know, different once you got to get ready for a game. I'm excited to see Forrest Lamp next week. But more than anything, excited to see what the season kind of brings, because there is a a completely different buzz and energy, not just to the franchise, but the fans now who are showing up. Instead of wearing every other NFL team's jersey, they're all wearing the Charger blue, powder blue, or the royal blue, or the navy blue. I'm not really sure why the navy blue still exists. That's a different story for the marketing department. Hey, man, excited. Thanks so much for having us out here.
Hey, thanks for coming out. Really appreciate it.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.